Chapter 7, text 7.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Narayanam namaskritya naram chaiva narottamam divim saraswatim vyasam tato jayam udirayat nasta praye swabhaveshu nityam bhagavat sevaya bhagavati yuttamasloke bhaktir bhavati naistiki krishne svadam apagate dharma jnana vidisaha kalamunasta drishammesha paranarko dunauritaha.
This Srimad Bhagavatam is as brilliant as the sun, and it has arisen just after the departure of Lord Krishna to his own abode, accompanied religion, knowledge, etc. Persons who have lost their vision due to the dense darkness in this age of Kali shall get light from this Purana. A devotee handed me this the other day. I'm going to read it. It's a nice glorification of Bhagavatam. I got it from Radha Damodar Prabhu. Thanks, Prabhu. O nectar from the ocean of all scriptures, singular fruit of all Vedas, rich mine of precious gems of all conclusive truths, you are the only giver of sight to all the worlds. O life heir of all the Supreme Lord's devotees, O Master, O Srimad Bhagavatam, you are the sun risen in the darkness of Kali. You are the exact image of Sri Krishna. I bow down to you, who are supremely blissful to read. Your every syllable pours down a flood of prema. You can always be served by everyone. You are Sri Krishna himself, my only friend, my constant companion, my spiritual master, my great wealth, my savior, good fortune, my source of ecstasy. I bow down to you. O bestower of saintliness to the unsaintly, O exalter of the most fallen, please never leave me. Always appear in my heart and my voice with pure love. Srimad Bhagavat Mahima Stotram. Friends, this is what we're reading here. This is in case anybody's wondering what we're doing.
Yadidam manasavacha Chakshubhyam shravanadidhi Nashvalam vrindyamanam cha Dirimaya manumayam Yavidam manasavacha Chakshubhyam shravanadidhi Nasvaram vrindyamanam cha Dirimaya manumayam. Chakshubhyam shravanadidhi Dirimayamanomayam Yadidam manasavacha Chakshubhyam shravanadidhi Nasparam vinyamanamcha Girimayam manomaya Yairam manasavacha Chakshubhyam shravanadidhi Nasparam vinyamanamcha Yadidam manasavacha Chakshubhyam shravanadidhi Nasvaranginamanacha. Virimayam manomayam.
Yaridam
manasavacha. Chakshumyam shravanadivi. Nasparam griyamanamcha. Virimayam manomayam.
That which.
Idam.
This world.
Nasa.
By the mind.
Vacha.
Speech.
Chakshubhyam.
By the eyes.
Shravana
adivihi.
By the ears and the other senses.
Nashvaram.
Temporary.
Yunyamanamcha.
That which is being accepted or perceived.
Cha.
And.
Vidhi.
You should know.
Mayamanamayam.
It's only imagined to be real by the influence of Maya. You ever notice that? It sure seems real to me. Translation, my dear Uddhava, the material universe that you perceive through your mind, speech, eyes, ears, and other senses is an illusory creation that one imagines to be real due to the influence of Maya. In fact, you should know, all the objects of the material senses are temporary. Let's read this together. My dear Uddhava, the material universe that you perceive through your mind, speech, eyes, ears, and other senses is an illusory creation that one imagines to be real due to the influence of Maya. In fact, you should know that all the objects of the material senses are temporary. Amazing how much time we waste with that illusion. Because of the illusion, we waste our entire existence, not just this birth, but many, many, many births pursuing the wrong thing. Always to find pleasure, happiness, and peace. The motive is always the same, but we're lost. We can't find it. So up and down the universes, everybody's traveling around in all these different bodies trying to find it with this illusion. We're in a dream. Imagine if you got up and you were in a dream, you didn't wake up, and you started walking around and you were still in your dream. You'd have a different day. If you were unconscious and you were walking around in a dream, you'd have a completely different day. Whatever what you're supposed to be doing, what you're going to do that day, would be completely different. Just because of a misconception. Purport. The question may be raised. Since we find good and bad qualities throughout the material world, how can Lord Krishna advise Uddhava to see everything equally? In this verse, Krishna explains that material good and evil are a creation of the illusory energy, just as the objects of a dream are a mental creation. I know I have vivid dreams, and sometimes you'll be in a dream and you'll just be liking it and enjoying it, having a good time, and then you wake up and it's like, I was just about to whatever you were going to do. But when you wake up, immediately, at least I immediately know, this is different. I was sleeping. Hare Krishna. So, the problem is the conditioned soul, because he doesn't have Prabhupada, he doesn't have Krishna, he doesn't have this knowledge. He's walking around in his dream. And even when you go up to him and try to tell him, excuse me, there may be something else. They're like, no, I'm busy in this dream here. But what is it? It's a mental concoction. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, Vasudeva Samamiti, Lord Krishna is actually everything because he's present within everything and everything is present within him. Krishna is Sarvaloka Maheshwaram, the Lord and the proprietor of all the worlds. To see anything separate from Krishna is illusion. attraction to any kind of material illusion, either good or bad, is ultimately useless since it obliges the living entity to continue wandering in the cycle of birth and death. Seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, and touching constitute the activities of the five knowledge-gathering senses. Similarly, the voice, hands, legs, anus, and genital constitute the five working senses. These 10 senses are organized around the mind, which is the center of material activity. When the living entity desires to exploit matter, he's covered by the three modes of nature. Thus, he concocts different philosophical, political, and social explanations of reality, but never understands the absolute truth, Lord Krishna, who is beyond the contaminated perception of the material senses. One who is entangled in a network of material designations, such as race, nationality, sectarian religion, political affiliation, etc., is absorbed in the experience of combining his body and other bodies with material sense objects, thinking sense objects to be sources of happiness and satisfaction. Unfortunately, the immaterial world, along with the senses that experience it, is a temporary creation that will be annihilated by the time potency of the Lord. Despite our foolish hopes and dreams, there is no actual happiness on the material platform. The real truth is not material, nor is it temporary. The real truth is called Atma, or the eternal soul. And among all eternal souls, one is supreme. He is called the Personality of Godhead. And in his original form, he is known as Krishna. The knowledge-gathering process culminates in perception of the inconceivable transcendental form of Krishna. One who is not perceiving Krishna and everything in Krishna is undoubtedly on the platform of mental concoction. In this verse, Lord Krishna warns Uddhava, remain clear of this illusory platform of existence. Yadidam manasavacha chakshubhyam shavanadi nasvaram griyamanam cha virimaya manomayam. My dear Uddhava, the material universe that you perceive through your mind, speech, eyes, ears, and other senses is an illusory creation that one imagines to be real due to the influence of Maya. In fact, you should know that all the objects of material senses are temporary. Nam sheshtam manamapi sachiputram atrasarupam rupam tasya grajam urupurim amaturim gostavatam Radhakundam Girivaramaho Radhikamara Vashyam Prapto Jasya Pratiti Kripaya Sri Guru Tamanatosmi. I am a very sinful person, always absorbed in the affairs of sense gratification. Srila Prabhupada has shown great mercy by forcefully pulling me out of this unfortunate situation. I am simply a fool, being lowly and degraded, yet my Guru Maharaj has kindly sprinkled me with the shower of his divine compassion. Thank you, Dasarath Sutta, for the translations and putting together this Prabhupada's poetry. Okay, so here we are in the material world. The spiritual jiva, he makes a mistake. It's all about choices. We have choices we can make. I was listening to Vaisheshika Prabhu the other day, and he told me, the only thing that the jiva really has is his attention. And if you give your attention to Krishna, then that's something that you can actually do. Because we don't really have anything. We're stuck here in the material world, we're in this material body, we have the mind, we have the senses, we have so many troubles. Everybody's worried about everything. Prabhupada says, what will happen next? What will happen next? And in this way, the jivas get lost, and it takes a long time. I mean, you figure there's 8,400,000 different births. Just if you got one of those each time, how long would that be? It would be a long time, right? Now, Krishna loves us so much that he never gives up on the jiva.
not only does he not give up on us, but he doesn't forsake us. He actually comes with us. When we bloot out of the spiritual world, Krishna, because we went to him and said, we want to play the flute, we want to dance with the girls, why don't we get to do this? You know? And Krishna said, that's fine, you can do this, but you can't do it here. So you have to go there. So then, boom, you get here. But Krishna is so kind, he's so attached to us, he comes with us in every species. He's there, constantly waiting for us to turn back. Not only does he come with us, but he sends his Shastra, he also sends his devotees. And what the devotees do is they take it upon themselves to go on and help the other jivas who are just riding along on the material machine, just trying to find some kind of... And everybody wants to be happy, just like the poet said, you can put me out on the street, you can put me out with no shoes on my feet, but put me out, put me out, put me out of misery. This is what everybody wants. They want to be out of misery. And if you ever think about it, pretty much everything that we do involves some kind of klesha, some kind of pain, some kind of suffering. We got adi bhautik, adi daivik, adi atmik. And nobody's getting away from any of that stuff. But the pure devotees come and they say, look, take shelter of Krishna, surrender to Krishna, and you can leave all this pain and suffering behind. There's hankering and there's lamenting and everybody's trying to make a plan. But Prahlad Maharaj says that you shouldn't waste your time making any plans or arrangements in this world. Because whatever you're going to get is coming. Whatever good's coming, whatever bad's coming, just like we avoid the pain and the suffering and we look for the happiness. But the jiva who's trying too hard to find happiness without Krishna, he just gets frustrated. Prabhupada says here, a chronically ill patient lies on his deathbed, suffering miserable, intense pain. But he smiles and says to his visitors, today I'm doing fine. He's laying in the hospital. He's suffering. A visitor comes, oh, today I'm doing fine. All this talk about doing fine, Prabhupada says, really makes me laugh out loud. This is the fine of the spirit soul who is totally bound up in Maya's gross illusion. So what we're talking about here is Maya's gross illusion, the dream that we're walking around in, that we think. It's just so strange how people won't give up. You give them a book and you say, here's something nice. People always ask, what is it? And I hand them a book. And I tell them that it's a book that talks about peace of mind and how to find inner peace. And almost every single person that I hand a book to and they say, what is this? I say, it's a book about peace of mind. They go, oh, I could use some of that. Because everybody's walking around in this illusion and they're getting kicked. And in between those kicks, you know, they might get a little bit of whatever, some kind of material pleasure or happiness, or they have, you know, most people, when you meet them, they're so engrossed in whatever they're doing, their daily activity, I can hardly get a minute with them to just give them a book. They're always like, I gotta go, I gotta feed my kids, I gotta go to school, I gotta go to my work, everybody's running around like a chicken with their head cut off, and they're wondering why they're not happy. The Prabhupada says here, that even these conditioned souls are looking for some peace of mind. Everybody wants peace and happiness. They can't find it. They think if they work and get money, then they get a vacation. This doesn't work. And even though they try harder and harder, nothing ever comes of it except more pain and suffering. And it's just like, it's just like that when somebody is sick, and he's Prabhupada gives this example. When you have fever and you're sick, oh, by the way, Varuna, I hope you're feeling better. I know that those enchiladas are going to kill you or cure you, but I hope you're feeling better, Prabhupada. But when you have a fever, you're not in your ordinary condition. You're in dis-ease, right? We want ease, but we're in dis-ease. No ease. When you're laying there on the floor with flu and you have a fever, everything's miserable. You can't find any peace. Every part of your body aches. The Prophet said, this is the diseased condition of Maya. When the jiva is in Maya, he's sick. So the devotees have the obligation to try to give them medicine. Prabhupada, when he was late age, 70, took up the order of a spiritual master to come to the West just for that purpose. And with him, he brought his Bhagavatams. He brought 600 of those Bhagavatams in cases, and he had them cased up. And his prayers on the Jaladutta, as he prays to Krishna, please let my words be understood by these jivas. Because when he got to Boston and looked around, he realized, oh my, what have I done? What was I thinking? I'm sure he wasn't thinking that, but I know if I showed up in Boston, I was going to do something. I'd tell all those Bostonites to turn around and do something completely different than what they've been doing. It's an amazing task. Even if he was young and even if he had a crew of 50 people with him, it would have been an unbelievable task. Nobody would have thought he could have possibly did it. The Prophet came with the order of the spiritual master and with his books. And what did he do? He chanted Hare Krishna in the park and he read his books. And that's all he did. And Achyutananda and Brahmananda and Kirtananda and a few devotees showed up, joined him. Prabhupada says, oh master, if all your disciples would work together, your movement would become beautiful by all sorts of preaching programs. This is your explicit order for all of us, that everyone must work together to enact the preaching mission while remaining immersed in your instructions. So we practice sadhana bhakti so we can purify our hearts. Because if we can't purify our hearts, and I can talk from experience here, I can do my service when I don't do my sadhana in the morning. I can still go out and sell books. But it's not the same. It's a lot harder for me to go out and do my service when I didn't get up in the morning and practice my sadhana. So Prabhupada gave us this program where you chant your japa and you attend Mangal Arati and you go to Tulsi Puja and you hear Bhagavatam and you take prasadam. And hopefully, I mean, I've been doing this for 45 years and sometimes I feel like it isn't working at all. But hopefully, and I'm not resent the principle, I'm not giving up. Hopefully by the constant practice of sadhana, sooner or later, someday, I'll get purified so I can act in such a way that I don't have to constantly be bombarded by the onslaughts of this dream. Because the dream is so believable that, at least in my situation, every single day I find myself tricked by the dream. But we go on knowing that if we engage in devotional service and follow Srila Prabhupada, that actually, because it's the golden Kali Yuga, it's the Kali Yuga where Lord Chaitanya, Krishna, Swayam Bhagavan Krishna, personally came to save everyone. And in case anybody didn't understand that, there's a Gaur Narayan form in all the Kali Yugas, and you get liberated and you go to Vaikuntha. But in the one out of the thousand, there's Swayam Bhagavan Sri Krishna, and you get Goloka Vrindavan, you get Prem. This is a whole different Kali Yuga. This is a Prem Kali Yuga. The weird thing is that the Prem Kali Yuga is seemingly surrounded and overgrown by the Iron Age quarrel, Manda Sumanda Matayo Upadruta Kali Yuga. Because when I go out there, which I do 5 days a week, to talk to the jivas and meet them and greet them and give them good tidings, most of them are pretty upset already by the time I meet them. It's like something already, you know, and you go, hi, how you doing? I give them a lollipop. Say, here, we're giving out these to anybody that'll smile. You'd be surprised how many people smile. People want to be happy. Prabhupada said, even the materialists are looking for peace of mind. They want to be happy. Their false egos and their dream they're in doesn't let them. But when you go up to them and you cut through there, you know, excuse me, you know, they're going to Publix and they go, hey, look, we're giving out the Smile Pops today. Give them a lollipop. And they smile. And many of them look me in the eye and go, I needed that. And I say, yeah, well, if you forget everything else, just remember God still loves us. And people like that. And then I give them books and ask them to give donations and stuff. But my interactions with the Jeevas is that I catch them, you know, they're going to the wherever they're going, and I catch them for 1 minute or 2 minutes, and I try to give them Krishna. I was going to the store last night, and I went to Hitchcock's, and I got out of the car, and there was this really old-looking pickup there right next to me with, like, a camper cab, but it was all full of stuff. It actually looked like it was full of garbage. And there was an old guy with a white beard, an old white guy sitting in the driver's seat, and even in the cab, it was stacked up with plastic bottles and garbage bags and donuts. I just looked at him and I was like, how can anybody fit in that truck? You know, he's just sitting there, and I looked at him and said, this guy's about 65, he'll probably like the Beatles. So I whipped out a chant, Be Happy, and I went over to him and said, here, buddy, here's an interview with the Beatles from 1969. And he grabs a book and he looks at me, he perked right up. He said, well, thank you very much. And he pulls out his glasses and puts it on, and he starts reading the book. So I go into Hitchcock's to get whatever I was getting, and I come out 10 minutes later, and the guy's sitting there reading the book. And that's just how easy it was. I just thought, here's a guy, I got the book. What was the worst thing that could have happened? He goes, I don't want that book, get out of here. And it happens a lot. But it's just that easy if we take that step. First of all, I had to be thinking, I have books in my vehicle. So when I see the Jeeva, I got to give him the book. Happened with Publix, too, the other day. Although, there's so many people that have given so many books. And one of the ladies is a glorious born-again Baptist. And I accidentally forgot that I had given her the book once. And of course, she corrected me that it wasn't good. Jesus was the only way. And I had forgotten because, you know, I have a lousy memory. I'm 61. I have a crappy memory. But I have the books all the time, so she gives them whatever, and I go, here's a book on yoga. It talks about inner peace. And she goes, I have inner peace with Jesus. I already told you. It's like, well, what a pleasure to meet you. It's been an honor to meet you, and I feel enlightened in your presence. But, and this is a game I play with myself on Sankirtan, because, you know, I can't be vociferous. When somebody, you know, I walk into this guy yesterday, and he goes, and the guy goes, get away from me, I'll kill you, right? And you know, you want to go hockey player on him because I'm Irish and I'm a hockey player and I just soon hit you with my stick, but that's not my thing. That's not my service. So what I have to do, and I can't say anything, but what I'm working on is that, because I walk away and in my mind, I say all kinds of things, you know, and I'm like, why did I do that? That didn't help me. I didn't even insult him. He didn't hear it. It's just my stupid false ego, right? Because this guy goes, you idiot, get out of here, right? What are you doing out here? I get that all the time. What are you doing out here? You know what? There's some yuppie in an expensive car, and you give me a lollipop. What are you doing out here? And they're like, one lady said the other, because you can't do this. I went to give her husband a lollipop, and he was just as nice as could be. He's reaching for the dum-dum, and she's like, you can't do this. And I said, oh, yeah? Watch this. And I just went on to some other guy who was standing and gave him a lollipop and a book and gave me $10. I can do this. This can be done. And it's not, you know, I'm not the only guy that gets in trouble with this. When Haridas and Nittai went out the first day on Sankirtan, not only that, before they went out, they had, you know, secret kirtans, hidden kirtans, and the neighbors of Srivas threatened to break his house, throw it in the Ganges. Srivas, he's Narada Muni. What is that? This is in Bengal. These are Bengalis. What? I'm going to break your house down. Why? Because you're having kirtan. Anyway, so this is what we're up against. So when Nittai and Haridas went on Sankirtan the first day, and they went door to door, and Haridas is complaining the whole time, going, you know, because Nittai will preach to anybody. You know, Nittai saw Jagai and Mata and went and preached to them. But the very first day they went out, they were knocking on doors saying, please chant the holy names. That's all they were doing. They weren't even asking them for money or giving them lollipops. They were just going, chant the holy names. Please take shelter of the holy name. And the second place they went, the guy came out and said, I'm going to get the law. I'm getting the law on you. This is Nityananda and Haridas Thakur. And so, what to speak of it? jerk like me, you know, I walk up to you, who's alone? Get the cops. You can't do this. I beg to differ with you. I did 1,000 books last month, and I'm not stopping. I got a good story. Vaisheshika Prabhu was in Jagannath Puri, as he does every year. And they go on pilgrimage, and they have kirtan. And this year, he said, you know, we should do service. We shouldn't just go on pilgrimage. So he gets 5,000 Oriya books. And he goes, all right, Prabhu, we're going on sankirtan. So he gets a bunch of dum-dums. And he gets 5,000 Oriya books. And they go in the streets of Jagannath Puri and they're distributing books and lollipops to the inhabitants of Jagannath Puri. Vaish said it was huge. Vaish goes, Dave, you're going to love this. It's huge. When you retire, you just come to Puri. Stand in front of the temple and distribute. Huge. So he said people were taking off their shoes and offering obeisances when they bought the books. Now that's something you don't get at Walmart. You usually don't get that. Wouldn't that be funny? You know, somebody buys a book, oh, please, let me pay my vacancies, kick off the shoes. Like, no, that's okay. I'm going to hurry because the cops are after me. But the law, I love that. Just listen to that last night, Chaitanya Bhagavat. Get the law. What? What did I do? What's the crime? What is my crime? Anyway, in 1 week, they distributed, Vaish had a crew, I don't know if he had 10 of them or 7 of them, whatever, his devotees distributed 4,500 books. But while they were distributing the books and the lollipops, you know the street dogs in Puri? They noticed all these street dogs, and they thought, you know, we got to save the street dogs. So, a devotee Googled it, what do street dogs like to eat? And it came back, God only knows why, boiled carrots. So they surrender, they boil a whole bunch of carrots and offer them, right? And the next day, they got lollipops, books, and Puri, and they give the street dogs, Vaish told me, walks up to the first street dog and hands them the carrot prasad. The dog smells the carrots, looks at Vaish, like, what the hell are you going to have, a street dog? I mean, carrots? Are you kidding me? So Vaish goes, hey, who Googled this? I said, Vaish, it's hard to get good help. So then the next day they went out with bread, you know, and they fed the dogs. Because Vaish is just the kind of guy that he can't stand it that some jiva didn't get the mercy. You need to go in the airport. He always had huge days. And we'd count the money in the car and he'd go, you know, I only distributed 75 hardbound books and I got $500. We're stopping. We're going to distribute the books because we're not going home just turning this cash. Vaish was fanatical about it. So we would stop anywhere, McDonald's, White Castle, wherever we saw people, and we'd get out because we're going back to the temple. We got to give out these books to make the money in the books right. There's no way he was going back to the temple with extra money without those books being distributed. We used to stop in Philadelphia. We'd go out at 10 o'clock at night to the airport because the airport was really hard all day and we'd work it and it was all businessmen. And it was hard. We'd pass out maybe 40, 50 books and collect $150 or something like that. So we'd go home, take a shower, and some would come back out at 10 o'clock at night and work this rush from 10 to midnight, which was all these flights coming in from Germany and Korea with all these military guys. And so we'd go out in that evening flight and we'd do huge. You know, but you'd only do maybe 30, 40 books, but you have all this lakshmi. So the advice would make me stop at the university there on the way back and go door to door and knock on the doors and give the students the books. We'd ask them for donations, but most students didn't give, but we'd just say, here, put these on your shelf. Give them 3 Bhagavatams. Put that on your shelf. This Vaish was fanatical about it. If you got $5, that's another book going on. You got $10, you need 1 book, you got to do another book. That's just the way he is. Luckily. Anyway, where was I? Oh, I wanted to share. I was not, remember the last class I gave, I told you about that those funny people that, these are rich people that are dog worshippers, and my sister takes care of their dog, and we've stayed in their mansion, right? Well, was that dog's name? Bear. The dog's name was Bear. He's this little French bulldog, cost $3,000 or something. He's a actually, I don't like dogs, but as dogs go, he was a really cool dog. Never barked, never jumped up on you, you know. But they gave me the master suite when I stayed there. The lady of the house said, this is the most comfortable room in the house. It's my habit. So, you know, my own private bathroom, and they had one of those nice electric toilets that washes you and stuff. It was really an amazing house, like 6,500 square feet. It's crazy. But Bear was used to sleeping on that bed. And anybody knows me, I ain't sleeping with Bear. Like, a Bear came to the door. I wasn't mean to him at all. I was so benign. I didn't really notice that I offended him. But when he came to the door to give him his bed, I said, I'm sorry, Barrett, there's no way in hell. I closed the door. That's all I did. I just closed the door. Well, when those people came back 3 weeks later, Barrett refused to go in that room. So they called Kathy and they said, what'd your brother do? He burned incense, he chanted Hare Krishna, he left books. I left books on the bookshelf. I had a habit of doing that. I used to do it wherever I go, you know, nobody's looking. Here's a bookshelf. Here's a library. Just put a couple of books in there. You remember? Prabhupada said, if you have this book in your house, it's like having a deity in your house. And who knows, maybe someday they'll read it, even if they don't, it benefits. Anyway, he burned incense, he chanted mantras, and he put books there. What did he do to Bear? Kathy calls me, what did you do to Bear? I didn't do nothing to Bear. I just wouldn't let him sleep with me. So Kathy went over there for 4 nights consecutively and slept in that bed with Bear. Come on, Bear. And Bear got back, and I just want everybody to know that Bear is back in his master's suite, and everything's Jake. Everything's happy, but I've got to read you this, because this is an amazing, ridiculous. On Gaur Purnima, another friend of my sister. My sister hangs out at the Humane Society, and when they're going to kill a dog, she takes them. That's the kind of person she is. So one of her friends had a 17-year-old dog that had to be put down because when you get that old, you know, when a dog's 16, it's like they're 99 or something, right? So he was so miserable and suddenly had to go to the vet and put it down. So she calls me and she goes, is today an auspicious day? She didn't say what for. I said, auspicious day, it's Gaur Purnima. It's the most auspicious day. She goes, but what about for putting the dog down? I go, oh yeah, I forgot I was talking to you. Yeah, it's a great day to put a dog. Hell, any day's a good day to put a dog on. Chandra Krishna is here, put him down, he's doing better. Who wants to be a dog? Of course, these dogs are really pampered. You see the dogs in Puri, you don't want to be that dog. But this is what they texted me after they did the ceremony. And my sister was there, Chandra Krishna, the dog's here. No. It came to me, this is like a plaque. It came to me that every time I lose a dog, they take a piece of my heart with them. It gets better. And every new dog who comes into my life, he gifts me with a piece of their heart. Listen to this. If I live long enough, all my components of my heart will be dog. They don't know how right they are. And I will become as generous and as loving as they are, I hope. This is dog worship. Prabhupada said that if you don't worship Krishna, because the jiva is a servant, he has to serve. And he says if you don't have kids and a wife and a job and a new country to serve, you will get a cat or a dog and you will serve it. You see people serving a dog. They walk down the street with a bag so they can pick up what the dog passes. It's crazy. So this poor thing, she's going to go out and get another dog and just pray that someday her heart will be all dog. And I'm going to tell you, I've had a heart that's all a dog, and it's not something you want. You don't want to be a dog. I mean, imagine being a dog. You know, you wake up in the morning, and you're a dog. You got paws. And what the hell is that? You don't want that, right? I mean, that's completely, that's something I don't want. There's a lot of things I might desire, but not that. And yum, yum, boppy, smum, boppy, whatever you think of when you die. I mean, not only that, they're not that fortunate. These jivas aren't going to be dogs. They'll be a flea on Bear's butt. Because they're so attached, you know, and they're not advanced enough to be a dog. I mean, it can be grass and weeds and stuff and then bugs and then you get to a dog. When you're offensive, according to the Shastra, Lord Krishna does not tolerate the blasphemy of any living entity. This is a big thing. What to speak of Vaishnava Parada? Because Bhaktivinoda says Vaishnavaparad is deadly. It's the only thing that can stop us is Vaishnavaparad. But Krishna says that to blaspheme any living entity, that's why I have to play this game in my mind when I meet these people that give me chidrakta, they give me spiritual blood for ignoring and defiling me. I have to think, Jai, thank you, Krishna, I needed that chidrakta. I don't have to think, you'd look funny with a stick in your head, you know. You look good with a hockey skate on your head. But this is called yoga, and we have to practice it. That's why we chant and read. And if we don't chant and read, I mean, maybe somebody could get some kind of blessing and become spiritual, but I haven't seen it happen, and Prabhupada never recommended it. So the idea is that we get involved in some kind of service, and we chant and hear constantly. If we don't constantly hear and chant about Krishna, we will constantly hear and chant, but it will be about all kinds of other things in our dream. And those things in our dream are not real. And so if you're lost in your dream, you may miss reality. And there are people that say reality doesn't matter and I don't care, but that's just talk. Everybody cares. You don't want to be that street dog in Puri. It's all fun and games until you're a street dog in Puri. I remember I was in Vrindavan and we were sitting there just happened to be getting a tongue scraper one night right there in Loy Bazaar. And then there's dogs everywhere and there was this mother with her puppies and here comes an ambassador and just ran over one of the puppies. But it didn't, there was five puppies and a mother. And one puppy just straight out, and he got run over, and his whole back was crushed. And he's just crying, and the mother's licking him, and I was just looking at him thinking, at least he's in Vrindavan, but you know, Prabhupada said, if you're a dog in Vrindavan, that's your last birth. But this is the material world. Every step is dangerous. You don't know what's going to happen out there. That's why we have to take it seriously. You might want to take it seriously. Does anybody have any, it's late, anybody have any questions or anything to add to this? Because I'll forget and I'll go on. Trivia come from you?
Well, thank you for this very nice class and stories. I was thinking that sometimes people are so busy now with their phones and computer and everything, they don't pay much attention to reading books. But I was thinking maybe along with our books, if we could probably get nice pamphlets, good topics about Jiva, about karma, about meat eating and so forth, that might catch them attention. Have you ever thought about this?
I don't have to think about it. I already have what you're talking about. I have Prabhupada's books. You ever looking at book room? We got a lot of books. All we got to do is give them to the jivas. We don't need any more books. We got books. All you got to do is give them to them. They don't even have to read them. Just touch them and they get benefit. All you got to do is participate in the program that's already established. But we don't have to figure it out. It's all been done. Lord Chaitanya has already done this. The universe is already delivered. Doesn't even matter. When I go out today and say, I'm going to give somebody a book, you want a book or not? Doesn't matter. You already liberated. It's the golden Kali Yuga. Doesn't mean that we don't do our service. We should stay engaged in our service. And each and every one of us should have some books in their car and give them to people. Those little books only cost 40 or 50 cents. Every devotee should have that responsibility to take that. Prabhupada wanted us to do that. All the devotees connected with the Krishna consciousness movement must read all the books that have been translated. Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, others. Everybody in here has done that? I know you have. Right? Everybody's done that, right? You've read the, what did I say? Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, and all the others? That's a lot of books. I was listening last night to Prabhupada talking about the standing order program we had. Prabhupada said these books are so amazing and transcendental. We have one Chaitanya Charitamrita, and the universities and colleges are buying standing orders for 17 volumes. We had one volume. And 60 volumes of the Bhagavatam. We had 7 or 8. And they're buying standing orders for their libraries and the colleges. This is what's going on. Prabhupada says here, if you don't read these books, what were they? Oh yeah. Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, and all the others. We got a lot of reading. Otherwise, sorry, but after some time, you will simply eat, sleep, and fall down. And we don't want that. Nobody wants that, right? I like to eat, but I don't want to fall down. It's scary. I don't want to blow this. You know, we're humans and we got the chance and Prabhupada's spoon feeding us this nectar. The Lord is very satisfied with his devotee when the devotee greets other people with tolerance, mercy, friendship, and equality. Vaish tells the story that when he was in the airport and a rude Indian businessman was just, I don't want this. How dare you offer me this? And Vaish said, what would your mother think of this? Of you denying the Srimad Bhagavatam? He didn't like that. He was mad and he went away. And then Vaish writes in the book that I felt so bad I let my anger get the best of me. I wish that was my anger. That ain't anger. That's nothing. When I get angry, you know it. And it's scary. You know what the problem is with me? When I get angry, it ruins my mood to do my service. So if I'm on Sankirtan and I'm trying to be, you know, what did I say? Equal to everyone, tolerant, merciful. I'm trying to be that. And then somebody offends me or whatever, and then I get mad at them. Then I lose my compassion to go and help the next jiva because I'm mad. It's a powerful thing, anger. You got to be careful with it. Come on, you guys. Anything else? Can't devotees say something? Ah, Sesha Prabhu. Hare Krishna. GVC. Library Party.
Hare Krishna. Vaishya was telling us about that book in prayer. And he said they figured out, because there were devotees from all over the world, and none of them spoke Oriya or Indian languages, basically. They were Chinese devotees, but they didn't speak English. And they all went on Sankirtan and took the books, and they were distributing them, he said 4,500 of them. And so he was describing the scene where you see a Chinese lady that doesn't speak any English approaching an Indian person and give him a book and talk with them. They figured out the way to do it was to take off their shoes, like you described, and that's a way of offering obeisances. So they would go up to somebody, take off their shoes, and offer them a book, and the person would take off their shoes, and they'd take the book. And it was quite successful. You know, Krishna, he was telling how Krishna gave that that technique of taking your shoes off and helped distribute the books, even though they couldn't speak the language.
Sorry, thanks for that. Yeah, they were Chinese devotees. So there's nothing matters in devotional service. The sincerity of the heart is the only thing that counts. If you're just like Kolavecha Sridhar, the Lord would harass him. Kolavecha Sridhar, he sold bananas. Anybody know that story? He was a banana walla. And he hardly made any money, and half of the money he made, he would worship Ganga every day with it. So Lord Chaitanya would go and harass him every day and say, give me a cheaper price, you're always trying to make so much money, you're just greedy and stingy. And Kolavecha Sridhar finally said, well, just take it, I don't care, you can have it free, but go away, leave me alone. And this went on and on and on. Harangue is the word used in the Bhagavad, Chaitanya Bhagavad. The Lord would harangue Kolavecha Sridhar about his greediness and he's too attached to his bananas and his business. So then one day, he revealed himself. The Lord turned black and had a flute. Kolavecha Sridhar's looking at him, and then Balaram joins him. So Krishna and Balaram are standing there, and then Shiva and Brahma are approaching to offer prayers. Kolavecha Sridhar just, boom, he's just, but this, the neighbor of Kolavecha Sridhar, because Sridhar used to chant in the middle of the night, wildly, loud chanting in separation and love of Chaitanya, love of Krishna. And the neighbors just said, he's wailing because he's hungry. He doesn't make any money selling the bananas and he gives the money to Ganga and he's starving over there and he's wailing. Shut up. They're trying to get him out. Stop it. But this is the pure ecstatic outpouring, prema. And the next day, the Lord reveals himself as Krishna Balaram. Can you imagine seeing that? It's sitting there, and Lord Chaitanya turns into Krishna, and then Balaram's there with demigods coming to worship. Anyway, When I go out on Sangatan, so many people look at me and think, who's this idiot out here walking around giving people lollipops? And I think, this idiot's with Nitai and Haridas and Kolavesa Sridhar and Srivas. You can break my house down and throw it in the Ganga, but I'm still going on Sangatan. Thank you, Prabhus. Distribute a book. Put books in your cars. I'm serious. Put little books in your cars. Sarva Vaishnavara Pari Kari Namaskar Ithaya Parada Kichi Naukama.
I saw her in the street and I was so good with that.
Yes.
It
was incredible.
I tasted the song. It was a mole. They call it a mole. It's mostly no, I went to the house to see if you know. I just see it from one. It gives it a flavor and then it's
cold. Really? No way.
I don't know how to do it. I don't know if it's on. No.